Charlie Parr is the real deal. He and his songs are authentic and sincere. He was in town playing at Boot and Saddle last week and sat down with us to play some songs from his newest album, Dog, which came out in early September.
In the summer when he was young, Sal was traveling with his family to another town, and his dad found work at the grocery store, and his mom cleaned houses with the lady next door. Silas grew. Yes, there they were when Silas grew. Silas grew into a rowdy boy on his bike, you know, all over town. He would ride in most of the time. He was all alone, his only friend lived on the other side of town. But they'd get together every Saturday to see what kind of hell he could raise. She said, Silas can't come home no more. She said, Silas, you can't come home no more. Now, Silas, he was an only child, and he never ever left his mother's side, and he lived in a room of a rowdy boy, even though he's 45. The same as they did when he was 12, and there they were till her time ran out. And there they were till her time ran out. Silas, he went home and he laid on his bed, and his feet hung out way over the end, and he could feel his mother's hand in his, and his dad's voice drifted into his ear. His dad's voice drifted into his ear. Is running down. Who's he gonna blame when there's nowhere to turn? His head, it ached and his stomach burned, and he tossed and he turned, and he could never rest. There he was till the very end.
Charlie Parr is our guest on the Folk Show. Thank you so much, Charlie, for coming in and playing for all of us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Ian.
You're very welcome. It's a thrill to have you back here. That was Boiling Down Silas from Charlie's latest album, Dog, which came out early September on Red House Records. Charlie, if people didn't know you or saw you and they just sort of heard your music maybe out of context, they could reasonably believe that you were born about 130 years ago. You have this connection to this old sound and old music, and you just bring it back to life.
Well, thank you for that. When I was a kid growing up, my dad had a kind of large rambling record collection, and there was a lot of different things in there, but most of the things in there were old folk and blues and country music. And the first time I really became, I mean, it played in the house all the time. I remember being very little and hearing the records just play all the time. But the first time I really actually like became kind of aware of it was around the time I was 7 and really got interested in the music and wanted to listen to it and brought, you know, certain records into my room to play them on my little portable record player that I'd gotten for Christmas. And, you know, some of those records, well, there was a lot of different things, but Man's Lipscomb and a Lightnin' Hopkins record that I hoarded away, a couple of volumes of the Harry Smith anthology. He had Johnny Cash records. He had 78s of Jimmy Rogers. Had a Woody Guthrie box set from the Smithsonian with Alan Lomax interviewing Woody Guthrie, which I listened to a lot. And so I remember just being touched by that music really profoundly, I guess.
Were there other musicians in the household growing up? Was your dad also a player? Or?
No, he wasn't. He wanted to be, but he worked in a packing house, and he did hard labor. He shoveled meat into an auger for a living, and he worked a lot, so he never had a chance to learn how to play an instrument. He knew a bunch of songs, and he sang all the time. He sang songs all the time, and he was so interested in music. It played, like I said, it played all the time. And then, you know, in another part of the house, my sister was older than me, and she listened to her records all the time, which I also loved. There were Beatle records and Rolling Stone and Grateful Dead records back there that I got to hear. So it was a great house to grow up in as far as listening to music went.
Folk music was always a big part of you, it sounds.
It felt that way. I mean, later, you know, when I got to be in my teens, I got into some different kinds of music too, which I still like. I listened to a lot of like The Clash and The Minutemen and bands like that I still enjoy kind of a broad palette of different kinds of music. But I can still go back and listen to that Man's Lipscomb record, and it will still do exactly the same thing that it did to me when I was 7. I can still be as, you know, it lights some kind of light inside that it's not often lit up by a lot of different kinds of music, but that stuff does it to me every time.
I think it does it to a lot of the listeners here on the Folk Show. Those are some of the greats that you named. And, yeah, it hits home for a lot of us, I think, as well. I'm glad that we can all share that those folk heroes in our lives. Absolutely. And thank you, Charlie Parr, for coming in and playing for us and telling your story. You want to play another song from the album?
Sure I do. I live in a cave deep in the woods of your heart. It's hard to leave and face up to myself. Inside the light, your safe darkness. Sometimes I'm all right. Another time it's hard to tell, like finding light inside of a darkest well.
that you asked me. No light causes no fear, and it's barely there at all. Except in my potentiality, sometimes I'm all right. Another time it's hard to tell, like finding light inside of a dark as well. But you asked me, soul, a light to light the heart, and it's hard when someone douses the flame, but it never goes away, no matter what anyone will say, you will rise, and deserve to do so. Sometimes I'm all right. Another time it's hard to tell, like finding light inside of darkest well. But you asked me.
Charlie Parr with Sometimes I'm All Right from his latest album, Dog, a brutally honest song there, kind of a slower one. Not all your songs are barn burners, eh?
No, sometimes it's better to slow down sometimes. You feel like you have to at points. But.
Absolutely. Sounds like you're able to process a lot of your life in your songs. Are they mostly all sort of self-reflective and autobiographical, I guess?
I think, for me anyway, I didn't start writing songs until my dad died, and I didn't really feel compelled to do it until then. I was interested in playing and learning guitar styles of, you know, some of the heroes that I had heard on the records. And and then, you know, I moved up to Minneapolis from Austin and got to see guitarists like Dave Ray and Spider John Kerner and, you know, some of those guys play, and was really interested in just playing the guitar. You know, I wasn't thinking too much about writing. And then when my dad died, a lot of grief processing ended up happening in writing songs for some reason. And I'm not really sure exactly how that happened, but what it did was it ended up being the case that a lot of little chunks of that kind of processing ends up in all the songs now, and it's become a cathartic kind of therapy for me.
Sounds like you've got a lot more songs in you, ready and willing to come out over time. Charlie Parr, keeping the tradition alive of folk music here on the Folk Show. Charlie, we have time for one more song if you'd like to
Absolutely.
Play one.
Yeah. I'd be happy to. Thank you.
at my home, and it looks like today will be the day I pack my belongings and leave where I'm from. Can I go home again?
Salt Water
from our guest Charlie Parr and his latest album, Dog. Charlie, thank you so much for coming in and playing for us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Folks, you can go to charlieparr.com to pick up a copy of this latest album, Dog, or really any of the other albums that are just, they're all really great and fantastic. I can wholeheartedly recommend them. If you're a regular listener of the Folk Show, I'm sure you've heard tracks from all of them. And I also keep track of Charlie and his whereabouts, his touring. He comes through Philly once, maybe twice a year, and he puts on a hell of a show. So charlieparr.com. Thanks once again, Charlie.
Thank you.